I came back. before then, before they called them for the posh, probably stand and pick. Why we said if he didn't come down, he didn't come down. Often I stop.
For you and for me. of glory standing across. Billy Sunday said if Jesus had made one movement, the angels would have come. But thank God he never called the angels. But he suffered and died alone for our sins, for our redemption. Aren't you glad for the night? Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this evening. Just to say we're going to send a wee card to Sister Lynn, just to tell her we're praying for and thinking of her this time. And please keep her in prayers at this time. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads tonight, and then we're going to look at the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, that you didn't come down to the cross. But we thank you that you stayed on the cross. There you suffered and died alone. And you cried those wonderful words, "It is finished." We thank you, Lord, redemption's plan was completed. You paid the full price for all that were saved. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord can be saved tonight. Lord, we're glad we're here. We're glad we're clothed in a right mind. We're glad we're sitting around your feet tonight. We're glad we can call on the name of the Lord and you'll hear and answer us. Father, this evening, we humbly come tonight. We take the Holy Spirit by faith in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. We pray you bless your word to every one of our hearts. Stir us, move us, save and heal and deliver, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray for dear Sister Lynn tonight again, Lord Jesus. You'll touch her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. May she know your touch. May she know your presence. Bless Brother Edward. Strengthen him as well, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for any in this room tonight that need your touch, touch them, Lord, and heal them. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, you know the needs of different people in this house tonight. Lord, we just bring every need before you, and we pray you meet every need. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's read from Genesis tonight, chapter 7. And let's read verse 16 tonight, just one verse. And verse 16 of Genesis chapter 7. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. You may be seated, praise God. I want to take a text from that tonight. Shut in or shut out. And either we're going to be shut in or we're going to be shut out. We know Noah was a very different man from the rest of those that lived in his time. He was a prophet of God. The Bible says in Hebrews he was a preacher of righteousness. Noah preached the same for 120 years. Now, one time when Brother Andrew Beecham came here and he preached a great sermon and he talked a lot about Noah, and you know what he brought out was striking. He says, imagine looking at Noah's missionary report. There wasn't any on it, only those that was with him. Noah, in the eyes of man and in the eyes of the church world, was a failure. But the Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. And he was no failure in the eyes of God. He was in the perfect will and plan of God. Noah had a message for that generation. Not only had Noah a message for that generation, outside of the message Noah preached, there was no salvation. His was the only place he was pointing to for safety, was the place he pointed. There was no other place for safety, only the place that Noah pointed to. Noah himself wasn't the Savior, but he was part of God's plan to bring about salvation. And he'd done something that prepared an ark for to save men and women. And it was only in that ark that men and women could be saved. Outside of the ark, you couldn't be saved. And Noah's message was such an important message. And you know, for the grace, God made a division between him and all the rest of them in his day. There was a division. We know that that generation had forgot God. We know that that generation didn't fear God. It's a bit like the generation today. And the Bible tells it as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man comes. And it refers to the days of Lot, so shall it be. And we see we're living in the last days again, when men and women have no fear of God. They've no fear of God, and they've no fear of the things they do. Sin today is throughout openly. Men living with men, women with women, and working that which the Bible calls unseemly, God gives them over a reprobate mind. That's the days we're living in, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. They lived for the things seen in temple, and Noah lived in the sight of the invisible God. Noah was living for God. Noah was walking with the Lord. Noah was obeying the Lord, but everybody else wasn't. And there has to be a group of people at the end time. People call them the Enoch group. What they mean by that is they're going to be like Enoch. Because Enoch walked with God and he was not, for the Lord took him. And there's going to be an Enoch company. There's going to be a group of people that's going to walk with the Lord, and the Lord's going to come for them and he's going to take them. And he's going to come in an hour that no man knows. The Bible says only the Father knows, not even the Son. For he cometh in an hour that you think not. And I tell you, Noah was preaching about this flood coming. But you remember when Noah preached about this flood coming, there was no rain. The earth was watered with a dew that came from heaven. It didn't actually rain at that time. But God said to Noah, it's going to rain. So Noah was preaching something that they'd never seen before and they'd never heard about before. But Noah was saying, God told me. And I tell you, that's like the day. When you preach something today and they can't back it up with science, they don't want to know about it. And then when you find out, the Bible says, heed not science, so foolishly called. We're not to heed the science. We're not to seek after science, and the Bible even warns us, don't seek after physicians either. Now we know we need doctors and nurses and all them things. I'm not telling you, you don't, you do. But when they have did all they can do, it's God that does it. The doctor, a bone's broken, the doctor sets it and puts a cast on it, but he doesn't heal it, God does. The doctor's no power to heal it, God does the healing. Noah lived for God. Noah had a message for that generation, a message of hope, a message of deliverance. But the people did not want Noah's message. They wouldn't come to hear Noah. It's not like today. People today will not hear the gospel. They don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to hear good news. They'd rather hear bad news. My, I tell you, don't mention COVID at all. Some fella mentioned it in our work the other week, and oh, that's going to start off again. It'll all start off again. I tell you, there's a disease in this world called sin. That's why you have everything going that is going. Sin's a cause. 2 Peter 2, verse 5 says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the ungodly. He brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and he only saved eight souls. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Now, we're not saying only eight will be saved, but there'll be few. Few there'll be that find it. The Bible says that. Many are called, few are chosen. There's a way that's broad. There's a broad way. And there's many good on the broad way tonight, but there's a narrow way. And few are on the narrow way tonight. It's easy to go with a stream. It's easy to go with a flow. A dead fish can go with a flow, but it takes a living fish to go against the flow. And I tell you, Noah had a message. And you know the gospel of the day is what it did then. There was a separation between Noah and the world, and the gospel separates to life or death. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 15 and 16. For we are unto you a sweet Savior of Christ, and them that are saved, and in them that perish. For to one we are the Savior unto death, and to the other the Savior of life unto life. The gospel separates for death, and it separates for life. There's really only two things tonight. Either a man or a woman saved, and they're on their way to heaven, or they're not saved, then they're on their way straight to hell. Now that's plain preaching, but that's absolutely the Bible. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. You know who is sufficient for these things? Separates to life or death. Now we know Paul said in these last days, just like the days of Noah, that this is a generation that don't even want to retain God in their knowledge. And so shall it be. They don't even want to retain God in their knowledge. Is that not today? They don't want praying in the schools. They don't want to retain God in their knowledge. They want to brainwash children that they can identify as any sex they want to. But the Bible has only got two sexes, male and female. And it's God that chooses ever before you're born. It's the choosing of God. It's not your mother or your father either that chooses. It's God. And God gives you a wee boy and God gives you a wee girl. And God's made it absolutely plain which one's which. And you can't change it. And any way to change it's called perversion. And there's no other language for it. It's absolute perversion. Adultery of the word. Romans chapter 1 verse 28, you listen to this verse. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to the reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And people today are doing things that are not convenient. And they call bitter sweet and sweet bitter. And if you say one word against it, you're called homophobic. Now, they never heard of that word, homophobic, until a few years ago. Now it's one of the big fancy words, homophobic. And they have destroyed the meaning of the word gay. Because the real English interpretation of the word gay means merry, lighthearted, and happy. But they've destroyed it. But the Bible calls them sodomites. Doesn't call them gay or homophobic. It says sodomites. That's the word for them. And the country's full of sodomites. And the government's full of sodomites. And the television and the radios are full of sodomites. And if a sodomite enters a singing contest, good chance you'll win it. Because you can't vote against them or else you're homophobic. And anything they enter, they want to win it. And if you say one thing against it, you're homophobic. It's almost like the phrase, Black Lives Matter. Well, there's the whites not. They don't worry about the white. But the Bible says all are precious in the sight of the Lord. Red and yellow, black and white, all is precious in His sight. When He built the ark, He was in a miserable minority. When Noah built the ark, there's nobody come up to Noah on a Sunday and said, Noah, you preached well today. He never got that. Noah got on with it. Noah got on with it for 120 years. Noah didn't get on with it because his congregation was growing. Noah didn't get on with it because he got more pay. Noah didn't get on with it because he was, you know, pleasing whosoever he wanted to please. Noah got on with it because he's doing what God said. And we must get on with it because we're doing what God said. And God said, preach the gospel. Yeah, amen. And it must be preached in all the world then till the end be. That's why we have to get on with it. We're not preaching it for our own selves. We're preaching it because God wants us to preach it. Noah preached it 120 years of ministry. When his ark was built and his family entered it, they were eight against millions. An insignificant few against so many. And I'm sure the educated of the day said, he has to be wrong. We have to be right. Look at our numbers against his numbers. Sure, there's none of them hardly there at all. Yes. That's why it took them so long to build it, probably. Because there wasn't too many of them to work on it. Now, I'm not saying that's the case. But it would have took a long time, I'm sure, to build it with all the fear there was. But they done it because God said do it. Not important how long it takes. You know, it's like the story Oral Roberts told about the mountain climber. And Oral Roberts told a story when he preached that great sermon about the fourth man. He began with a story of a mountain climber. And he said the mountain climber takes his gear and he heads into the mountains. And as he sees the light fading and the night coming, he looks for a crevice in the rock or a tree that he can climb into. And if it's a tree, he climbs into a tree for safety. And he takes his belt off and he'll tie himself in the tree. Now, he's not comfortable in the tree. He's maybe not that warm in the tree. But the important thing is that he's there in the morning.
Amen.
And the important thing wasn't how long it took for Noah, but the important thing was that Noah was there in the morning. Amen. Noah was there when the judgment fell. Noah was safe.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That was the important thing.
Amen.
And the most important thing in this life is salvation.
Amen.
Salvation's more important than any other thing. It's the most important thing to be saved and to know you're saved. That's the most important thing. We believe in healing and all them things, and we preach it. But healing's not the most important thing. You could be healed with, mention a man this morning, an alcoholic, given a week to live. God raised him up, and he's lived for years, but he never done nothing about his soul. And though he was healed, and though he was raised up, he's going to go out into eternity in a lost state, in an unprepared condition, and he's going to have to go to a place called hell. And hell never was made for man. Hell was made for the devil and his fallen angels, which followed him, which kept not the first estate. God never made hell for man. God made heaven for men and women, not hell. I tell you, thank God tonight that Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I tell you, in spite of all the evidence and all the scientists of that day, the millions were wrong, but Noah was right. Would you not rather be on the Lord's side? It mightn't be popular, you mightn't be famous, you mightn't have what others have, but the thing is that you'll be there in the morning. That's the most important thing. Where God is a majority. Amen? Remember, even there was a great difference between the eight and the millions. There was no gulf between them. The way was open to all who would come and believe. There was no door closed at that point. God had given a message. The message was for all. All could have been saved. All could have been reached, but they didn't want it. And Jesus Christ died on the cross because God so loved this world. John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But all won't be saved because they won't come. But provision's there for all. Revelation 22:17, that says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. There was a way for them to come. The door was open. The door was open for 120 years. The door was open. The way was there for them to come. Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And the Bible says he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And grace means the unmerited favor of God. Noah found it. God's unmerited favor. After 120 years, God's Spirit will not always drive a man. There stood the ark and its door open wide. And all of the place of safety from the coming destruction. And outside this door was death. That's all was outside the door. Death was outside the door. Separation from God was outside the door. Separation from your loved ones was outside the door. Everything you don't want was outside the door. But inside the door, there was everything you do want. This death would reign universally. But all would be peace within. Remember, When the last 7 days of grace had come to close, the Lord began his work of justice. There's a work of grace, but remember, there's a work of justice.
Yes, amen.
There's a work of justice.
Yes.
And we preach about grace and the love of God, but then there's the justice of God. And because God's holy and because he's righteous, God will have to deal with sin. And God began his work of justice. And God said, Noah, come in. And he closed the door. And the ark never moved for 7 days. But while Noah was in the ark still didn't move for 7 days. Mercy was over. But the ark was still there. Did you know the prophet of God said in the 20th century, he said they'll be preaching in churches when the rapture's taking place, they'll be making altar calls, and it's over. It's over. There's a day when mercy's finishing to the Gentiles, you know. And God's going to turn back to them Jews. I don't know when that day is, but I believe it's near. And I believe we're gleaning around the back of the hedges, as it were. May the Lord help us to get a handful. You see, death would reign universally. God closed the door, the work of justice. He separated Noah, he closed the door. Revelation 3:7, unto the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. You know, the Lord gave me that scripture many years ago. The Lord gave me that scripture, and other people give me that scripture since. God's told me and told me time and time again. I've set before you an open door. No man can close it. That's what God has told me. I've had people come to say to me, God's going to open doors for you. Well, the Lord's already said to me, I've set before you an open door. God doesn't need to open something that's opened. Are you hearing me tonight? And there's a door open for you, and there's a door open for me tonight, and there's a way of being into the household of God, and the way is free tonight, and the way is clear tonight, and the way has been purchased for the greatest price of all, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the cherubims with flaming swords once guarded the tree of life to keep man away, but now they're standing back to bring you in to the tree of life. There's an open way tonight. But that open way is going to close. It's going to close. I tell you, it closed in Noah's day. It made an impassable barrier between Noah and those that believed not. The mercy gate was shut. The time of long suffering had come. They closed. 1 Peter 3:20. But sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. There it is, while the ark was preparing. So while Noah was preaching in the ark and the must have come round, how many came round and looked at the ark? How many looks at the gospel? How many gazes at the Savior? But that's all they do. They have a look, a glance, but that's it. But you have to receive the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. You need to take him, and you need to take him into your heart. I tell you, they could have come up and they could have told Noah. Would I tell you, Noah, I don't know what you're building, but I'll tell you one thing, you're using the wrong word to start with. And many people that worked with wood would have said that, but they didn't know what God had planned. Because God picked the type of wood that he's going to pitch. And it was going to have to soak up the pitch, because God was going to make it float, that it was impossible to sink. It would be like a lifeboat, and it was like a lifeboat in the sense it couldn't be sunk. Because God told him how to make it. It was a long ship. And when they seen the long ship, they said, my goodness, is he building a boat or a coffin? He has them young people down there, his family, his immediate. Who goes to your fellowship? I hear they're all family. That's a bit like Noah. Noah only had family. Noah didn't have anybody that wasn't family. But I've news for you tonight. If you're born again in the Spirit of God in this room, I don't care what your name is, you're family. God's only got sons and daughters. Your name doesn't mean a thing. You need to have his name. If you have took his name, Then you've took something that gives you life. It's power in his name. Till as many as receive him, to them gives he the power to become the sons of God. I tell you, they thought Noah's building a coffin. And as soon as that door closed, they were shut out. But Noah was sealed in. And I'm only getting them a first point tonight. And all I have is 2 points. I left the 3-4 home tonight. You ever get the 3-4? Somebody, it's 3 points, and then it ends up 4 or 5 points. You ever get that? But just let me give you something else. And let me give you something else. And it keeps on going. Noah was shut in. And he was shut in the ark. Noah's condition as to an evil world was one of separation. It was separation. Hear me tonight. That was Noah's condition. He was severed from the world, and his separation was beyond recall. Hear me tonight. Once you're really saved, you're saved for all time. You're saved for all eternity. Once you're really saved, you can't be lost, because you never saved yourself to start with. God saved you. If you could save yourself, you could lose yourself. But if you can lose somebody that's really saved, you can lose God. But you can't lose God. Colossians 3, verse 3, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Aren't you glad you're hid in him tonight? Noah was sealed in. Noah was separated. I tell you, we might mix with the world tomorrow. We might have to do things, but we're different from the world. We are separated from the world. We're in this world, but we're not part of it. That's the Bible. We're of another kingdom. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hit beyond further damage or death, they're henceforth kept by the power of God on the salvation. I tell you, when you die as a believer, it's not a disappointment and it's not a defeat. It's an entrance into the eternity to be with the Lord. No defeat and death for the real believer. Galatians 6:14, for God forbid that I should glory save on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I'm in the world, but I'm not part of it. The door was shut. The Lord had shut him in. There was no wish in Noah's heart to come out. He had no desire to come out. He had believed the message. He had preached the message. He was concerned, and he preached, and he was convinced, and he came in. You need to be concerned tonight. Then you need to be convinced. Then you need to come in. The deed was done, and it couldn't be undone. The bolt was shut. God closed the door. It couldn't be withdrawn. The bolt that God closed in the door of the ark couldn't be withdrawn. It was grace for Noah, but it was God's justice on the world that rejected his message. God's justice. Noah was shut in by a hand which is not given to undo its work. When God takes to do a work, God carries out a work. Everyone that can say they're true believers, they're dead unto the world and they're shut in with God. Ephesians tells us you're sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. You're closed in. They may have said Noah entered a coffin. He's as good as a dead man and he's buried, but he was living. Let me just read yesterday's quotation from a message called Court Trial. And you know, one day come up a laugh at me. This is pretend to be Noah. And the door was shut. They said, well, that old fanatic went out there and shut the door, I suppose. But I told them, God shut the door. This is Noah talking. No doubt that the rain will fall today. That'll be it. The first day passed by, there was no rain. They really scoffed at me then. Telling me God, and I told them God shut the door. And they said, I don't believe such stuff as that. Noah closed the door himself. Him and his son, see, scoffers, unbelievers, and skeptics. And the Bible warns us about them in the last days. Where is he? Where's the coming of the Lord? Where's God? They mock it. All right, it went on for a while, but on May the 17th, one morning it rained, and it absolutely destroyed all those people that was put to the test against the Word of God. And it saved those who believed God and prepared them for that time with the Lord. And I tell you, there's a world today on trial against the Word of God. And you know, when they turn down the Word of God, they're turning down life. Jesus says, my words are spirit, my words are life. Yeah. We know scoffers are prophesying. Look at 2 Peter 3, verse 3 to 8. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they are from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that. By the way, the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the waters, and in the water, and whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heaven and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. Now you're hearing me tonight. When you hear people saying that somebody's going to do this or somebody's going to do that, and the earth doing this or that, it can do absolutely nothing that God permits it or God lets it, because the Bible says it's kept in store and God's keeping it. And while the earth remains, summer and winter will remain. And this idea will not know the difference. Somebody said, isn't that in the Bible? No, it's not in it. That's some boy's idea. And I've said before, I believe the bombs are putting off in the earth is affecting the earth. And that's why we're getting some of the things we're getting. And not only that, there's God's judgments are in the world today. But they're not fully here because of Jesus. If they were fully here, there wouldn't be one of us fit to stand. When people say, if God's a just and holy God, why is he let him do this or her do that? If God's a just and holy God, he'd clean the table with all of us. But we're here because of his mercy and grace and the precious blood of Jesus. And when he looks down through that blood, he doesn't see our sin. It's gone. When he looks through the blood, verse 7, but the heaven and earth are now by the same word of captain store reserved unto the day, unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. God is going to burn this earth. She's had a baptism of water, she's going to have a baptism of fire. It's coming. Just like we're baptized in the water, we have to be baptized with the fire. Look also what Peter said. Peter typed baptism to that ark. 1 Peter 3:20-21. But sometimes are disobedient, when once the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few that his 8 souls were saved by water. The like figure were unto even now. Baptism doth also now save us. Peter, there's a comma here. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's not the power, not water that saves you, but it's the obedience to the word of God that you're identifying with Jesus Christ. You're going down in that water of baptism and you're dying to this world. You're saying, I believe you died for me, Lord, and you put in the grave for me. And then you come out of the water and that's you saying, I believe you rose again for me. You're identifying with Jesus Christ. And it's preached even through the ark. And it's preached here in the Bible right before us tonight. Isn't it wonderful? And it even talks about how to pass through the Red Sea like a baptism. Because you must identify with Christ. You go down with him and you come up with him. And it's not something you do after you die. It's something you do now. Yeah. Then you won't die. Him that's born of God cannot die. We talk about people dying. There's no such thing as somebody dying that's born again. That body's just resting. The souls went on to be with the Lord. I tell you, they're not far from us tonight. He does not say baptism seems with a like figure of the way of salvation. The ark and the immersion set forth the same truth. The man's buried in baptism to signify that he's dead to the world, wherein also he rises again to show fellowship with Christ and the resurrection. And the fact that he's risen to newness of life. Baptism is a picture of the way of salvation, just like Noah on the ark. Entrance into the ark, submersion beneath 40 days. He entered into the ark, submersion under the water, 40 days. Amen? Isn't it beautiful? There's so many things you can preach from the ark. What about when he released the dove? And the dove flew out and the dove came back. And the dove came back because the dove had nowhere to lay its foot. Because there was no land anywhere for the dove to land on. And that's like so many places today. If the Holy Spirit was released in some places, he would come back because he'd nowhere to land. But may when the Holy Spirit's released, may we say, come in. Amen. May we invite the Holy Spirit in. May him somewhere to place his foot. May come in. The gentle dove. Rising of the ark above the water sets forth the resurrection to new life. We've come out. We must not go back like Bunyan's. Bunyan and Pilgrim's Progress. Who's ever read Pilgrim's Progress? Wonderful book. I'll tell you this evening, them old books is better than any of the new ones. Most of the new ones, I wouldn't even have any of them about me. Most of them's nonsense. But them old books are good, aren't they? I'll tell you, the best old book is in front of me here tonight. It's called the Bible. The Word of God. We must go forward, for we have no armor for our backs. Amen? Pilgrim's Progress brings that out in the book. Luke 17, 32 tells us, remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife looked back. And she turned into a pillar of salt. God does not want us to look back. God wants us to go forward. I would love to see more people coming, but that's not me that sorts that out. That's down to God. I must be faithful, whether it's few or many. Do you think Noah never would have had a Sunday when he had to preach up a sermon? Seriously, do you think Noah never had a Sunday when he's back preparing? And I don't know how he prepared or what way it's come about, but I'm just telling you tonight, do you think Noah never had a time when he was discouraged, when he looked out and nobody was coming? Do you think he never would have got discouraged? Wonder how it felt. But I tell you, he kept on going. And I'm telling you this evening, keep on going. Keep on going. The Lord has shut you in. With himself, keep on going. You fellowship with the Lord tonight. Keep on going. Now, I'm closing in a moment, just a few thoughts on the last thing tonight. You know, you can see he's shut in, but what about those that shut out? What about people that shut out tonight? And I tell you, there's so many people today and they make decisions. They put their hand up at a meeting and they make a decision. Sometimes maybe they're forced into it a little bit. It's not really the Holy Spirit, let's be honest about it. They're forced into it. There's a bit of an auction goes on and maybe they're buttonholed and they're forced into praying a sinner's prayer. But the Holy Spirit never really worked on them. And then in a year's time, they're not a church. And you're trying to bring them, and you're trying to get them to come, but there's no life in them. There's nothing in them to live it, because they're not really born again. But if they really were born again, they would come for you. You wouldn't have to go for them. There's something in them to live it. And I tell you, when you really get born again, there's something in you that'll live it. Because you've got the Lord. I tell you, these people were closed out. They were shut out. Luke 13, 25, when once the master of the house has risen up and have shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not, from whence are ye? There's a day coming when it's going to be too late. Nobody can come when that time comes. It's the same with the oil of the Holy Spirit. The Bible warns us and tells us, Matthew 25, 10 to 13. Let's read it, and then I'm going to close. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They were looking for oil. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore. For you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Jesus is coming again. And we need to be ready. Amen. We need to be ready. Shut in. Shut out. Aren't you glad you're in Christ tonight? Maybe somebody listening to this message that's not in Christ. You need to get in Christ. Brother, how can I get into Christ? The Bible says it'll come to pass in the last days that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll tell you another thing. I want you to listen to me as I close tonight. Can you imagine when God said to Noah, come in now, because I'm going to close the door. Could you imagine Noah saying, but hold on a minute, Lord. There's a couple of things I need to do yet. That never happened. When God said to Noah on a certain day, he had 120 years, which was a long time, and 120 years come and went, Noah wouldn't have knew himself how long it was going to be for. Maybe God never told him. I don't know. But there was a day came when he actually came into that ark. Maybe it was when he had it finished. But God would have knew the time when it would be finished. But Noah wouldn't have. Do you ever do a job and somebody says to you, how long will it take? You say, I'll tell you what, I'll do that job in about 3 days. And you start it and you're a week at it and still not done. Because you fall into something you didn't plan on. Well, I don't know how long Noah thought that job would take, but he's at it for 120 years. But it did finish. God said, come in. And God closed the door. Now, you remember this. When God closed that door, there's no rain fell for 7 days. And Noah never moved from that spot for 7 days. But not one soul was saved in that 7 days. Mercy was finished. Ever before the judgment came, it was over. And there's a period coming at the end for few's going to come. I tell you, brothers and sisters, tonight it's not a time to play. I told you about a man. You know who I'm talking about. I don't need to name him. His name tonight, but you all know him. He rang me. He was in the bed. He was under conviction. After our brother Rock's funeral, Brother John Weir had spoken to him. And I tell you, God had spoken to him. Now, God used John Weir at that funeral. We know that. That's the truth. And God spoke to a lot of people. And he was one of them. And he was going to come up. And he didn't come up. And I said, well, I'll rise now and I'll come to where you are. No, leave it. I'll come up another time. But he didn't come up another time. And I pray God gives him another chance. And I went to see him a few days ago in the hospital and he's home. They say he's damaged to the lung and he's bad angina. Damage in one of the lungs. I don't know all what the problem is because everything else come back clear. But I'll tell you one thing. When you spurn the mercy of God for the last time, it's a sad thing. My dad years ago went to meetings with a man. I've heard people laugh about it, but it's a serious thing. And there was a wee man called Reverend Jay Wiley. I don't even remember, but they say he was a great preacher. Free Presbyterian preacher. They say he was a great preacher. My dad used to go, and this man went with him, and the sweat would break on him. Now, I've heard people make comments about that, joking. But I'll tell you one thing. When a man's under conviction, don't joke about it. It's a serious thing. And I'll tell you another thing. God can use whoever he wants. And because he doesn't come under our label, doesn't mean God can't use him. God can use whoever he pleases. And I don't care what the label is above the door. If God's in that man, you should amen it. Amen. But the sweat broke on him. But he done nothing about it. And he's an old man now today. and he's still not saved. How long has he got left? I don't know how long he's got left, and God's raised him up on more than one occasion, and he even came to one of our services and thanked us for praying for him and acknowledged that God touched him, but he's still not saved. Now I'm going to tell you something tonight. My father was one day somewhere, and the Lord spoke to him. And he said, you see that man? He'll not change. He will not change. And he's an old man tonight, and he hasn't changed. The Bible says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And I tell you, it's good to get saved when you're young. It's good to serve the Lord when you're young. I'm glad, of no regrets, that I'm serving the Lord tonight. I wish I'd given him more years when I was younger. It's great to see these young men and women saved and serving the Lord young. Keep on keeping on. May God bless you and strengthen you. Let's stand our feet tonight. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? Let's bow our heads tonight. If you want prayer tonight, just lift your hand up to the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. You know, we want to see every one of our children saved, serving the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we're closed in with you. We're sealed in by the Holy Ghost unto the day of redemption. Father, I'm asking you tonight for the hands raised in this house, that you'll meet every need. Lord, you know the needs. Maybe a hand's not raised. Oh God, only you can do it. Lord, I pray you will, in the name of Jesus Christ, change the circumstances right around. I pray for people in this room tonight with high blood pressures. I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ to become normal. Lord, that you'll work in the body, that you'll grant them the miracle they need, that the blood pressure will become normal in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I'm asking you for sons and daughters tonight, representative from this house. Lord, I pray you'll send the Holy Spirit upon them. I pray you'll speak to them. Maybe they heard a wee verse in a Sunday school, or someone from a Sunday school teacher, or a wee book they got, or a wee Bible. But Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost will speak unto them. And Lord, you'll bring them everyone into this ark, Christ Jesus. Lord, there's only one ark tonight. That's the ark of the Lord. Help us, Lord, to get others into the ark. God, I pray you'll give us the strength and the vigor. Lord, and the anointing of the Holy Ghost to gleam while you've yet to come. Lord, we know you're coming soon. Help us to be fishers of men and women while we wait for your soon return. Bless everyone tonight, the song leader. Bless the musicians, the deacons, the elders. Every boy and every girl, every widow in this house, bless and strengthen and comfort, and just have your way with every one of us as we acknowledge you in all our ways tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, I bless everyone in this room. In Jesus' name. And I bless your people, the people of Israel. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I bless them. In Jesus' name tonight. Lord, and I pray again for Sister Lynn. Lord, I'm praying you'll touch her. Pray, God, you'll show mercy and grace. Lord, tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless each one this evening as a brother comes.
Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, it's a somber thing to think about how when God speaks to people and they refuse to hear it. You know, the Bible does say that the Spirit of God shall not always strive with man. You know, it'd be a sad, sad thing, and it has happened millions upon millions of people where they've had the last opportunity. You know, it's a sad thing to turn it away. And you know, there's many things as that sermon or pastor was preaching about Noah. You know, how the devil's full-time occupation is to discourage you. There's never no let-up. He never takes a holiday. He'll try to discourage you all the time, you know. And it's easy to become discouraged, but sometimes for myself, you know, it's good just to maybe to sit back. Sometimes you just go through wee periods and maybe feel discouraged, but it's good to sit back and just actually think of the things the Lord has done over your life and the things that the Lord has granted you. And, you know, sometimes you think to yourself there's things maybe you'd like to be different and things maybe you'd like to have and you don't maybe have it. And you look at people in the world, maybe they have something that you would like or something that you would like to have. But if you look what God has given you, you know, and for to have salvation is more precious than anything. You know, money couldn't buy it, praise God, and it's wonderful that we've got something. We have riches greater than what this world can ever tell. The value of your soul is priceless, and it's been saved and purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Bill Gates couldn't do that. He couldn't purchase one soul. Never mind all of them, praise God. So God is good, praise God. Can we sing that little song, Count Your Blessings? Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. What key are you having?